Good afternoon. It's right about 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 19th of November, the year 2014. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Peter Metcalf and Marcy Nelson about this year's public market. Danny Peterson will update us about 360 North programming. We'll get a preview of this Sunday's Music on the Fly program with musician Travis Couteau. I'll talk with Gabriel DeLutz about this year's Native Alaskan market. That Writer's Almanac, Burnout Music, and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The high wind warning is in effect from 3 a.m. Thursday to midnight tonight. It can be sunny and locally windy tomorrow, today, and mostly clear skies tonight. Very windy weather and colder weather predicted. Forecast for Thanksgiving Day, sunny weather, very windy weather continuing.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Alaska Native leaders say a new state law that will legalize the use and sale of marijuana could damage people in communities. They told an attorney who's researched the law that the tax it authorizes won't raise enough money to repair the damage. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Attorney Matt Singer says he's been getting a lot of questions from local government officials about the new pot legalization law, and he got a lot more from a room full of the officials Thursday during a session sponsored by the Alaska Municipal League. Alaska Native leaders weren't happy to hear Singer's answer to a question on whether communities can ban the personal use of pot.
So you cannot declare a dry village the way you can with alcohol.
North Slope Borough Assemblyman Forrest Oliman said after the session that he and most other Native leaders opposed the law because of the damage substance abuse has inflicted on Indigenous peoples.
For many years we've been dealing with the social aspects of alcohol and drug abuse, and my concern with the legalization of marijuana may lead to more use, more abuse.
Oliman says he's also concerned that the $50 per ounce excise tax that the new law requires to be levied on the sale of pot will not raise enough money to pay for increased drug treatment and rehabilitation that he believes will be needed.
My fear is that's not going to be enough to deal with the negative social impacts.
Singer says municipal officials should be talking about that with their legislators, who can increase that tax and make other changes in the law. In Anchorage, I'm Tim Ellis.
Six chiefs who were hanged in British Columbia, Canada, 150 years ago were recently exonerated. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, they were sentenced for their part in the Chilcotin War.
The Chilcotin War is considered the deadliest attack by Aboriginals against non-Aboriginal settlers in Western Canada. It began in April of 1864, at the time the colonial government tried to build a toll road from the coast to the goldfields inland. The canyons, rivers, and mountains were treacherous and the building was slow, but the workers ran up against an even more formidable force, the Tsilcotin. The natives had been decimated by smallpox and feared an influx of settlers into their territory, so they resisted. Within 2 months, 20 white settlers had been killed. Attempts by the militia to capture the Tsilcotin failed. So police then invited six Tsilcotin chiefs to a meeting where the First Nations believed they were being summoned for peace talks, but they were arrested. They were tried and later hanged. Recently, BC Premier Christy Clark apologized, saying the Tsilcotin people see the chiefs as heroes. Chief Roger Williams says it was an emotional end to some unfinished business.
Those warriors are the main reason that we were able as a nation to fight for 20, 25 years, which eventually became the June 26th Aboriginal title win, the first of its kind in BC, in Canada, in North America, and the world.
Williams was referring to a Supreme Court of Canada ruling in June in favor of his people, when for the first time in Canadian history, a First Nation was granted title to a piece of land the Aboriginals claimed as their territory. He said now his people can move forward with real governance and authority over economic development. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Events begin this weekend and run through Wednesday to commemorate the Sand Creek Massacre. A spiritual healing run takes place Sunday at the site in Colorado. Other events include a candlelight vigil and film screening in Denver. On November 29, 1864, U.S. Army soldiers attacked and killed Cheyenne and Arapaho people at the site. About 200 people died, including women and children. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guests are Peter Metcalf from the Public Market and Marcy Nelson from the AK Starfish Company. Thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having us.
Public Market. Sorry to think of somebody in Juneau who hasn't been there several times already.
Well, we have a lot of new people in Juneau, so there's got to be some newbies out there who don't know about it.
This is your 32nd Public Market?
That's right. We started, first one was in 1983. So we were one of the first events in the new Centennial Hall Convention Center.
How did it get started?
That's a little convoluted, but I'd been producing music, and the structure that they had for charging for a musical event in Centennial Hall was there wasn't any way to make money. And then I thought up this, because I always liked the Public Market in Seattle, and that was always a must-stop place when I went through Seattle. And so it was like we just started putting this idea together, and within a couple of weeks we had it sold out with vendors. And then the first we had the first market in the summer of 1983, when there was, on a day, there were five cruise ships in Juneau, which was the first time there had ever been five cruise ships, and they didn't have a lot to do at that time. And so we advertised on the dock, and the next thing we knew, we had a lobby so full of people, tourists mostly. We had trouble opening the doors to the Sheffield Ballroom, and we were pretty sure we were on to a good thing. So it's been that way ever since.
How many vendors did you have the first year?
Well, we had probably about 90. It filled up the Sheffield Ballroom, and then it took about, I don't know, 8 years later before we expanded to the lobbies and meeting rooms, and then about 8 years ago we expanded to the armory, and so we now have an annex.
It's also known as the Jack these days.
That's right.
And then you did the A&B Hall.
We did the A&B Hall first, and then we moved into the Jack after the armory was renovated, and we've been there ever since. And by the way, there's an event being put on by some friends of mine at the A&B Hall that's mostly featuring Alaska Native artists, so that's happening too this weekend.
We're going to find out more about that later on in the show, talk to Gail. How many vendors do you have this year?
Well, we have about 150 spots for vendors, but a lot of people double up, and so we figure we're around 170, 175. And they're coming from, literally from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. We have three vendors coming from the Northwest that have never been at the Public Market before, from Kotzebue, Shishmaref, and Savunga. Savunga's on the St. Lawrence Island. So pretty exotic stuff.
What's new this year?
Well, one of I was kind of surprised he signed up, Steve Brown. He's really a very well-known Northwest Coast artist. I mean, he's like a scholar on the subject, and he is also one of the expert carvers. And he's doing these engraved pocket watches. He collects gold and silver pocket watches and engraves them with totemic images. And he's going to be in the annex. And so I was really delighted to host Steve. And then one person who's coming back for a second time is kind of interesting. She's Sarah Cohn, now Bishop, Sarah Bishop, whose parents, Gershon and Carrie from Haines, were among the first vendors at the Public Market. And Sarah came along as an infant, I think, in the third Public Market. Now she's a second-generation vendor, and she does some really great fabric art.
Marcy Nelson, you're here representing the AK Starfish Company. You got five stores in Alaska.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about the store, please.
Well, I started the company in 03, I have been I'm a third generation Alaskan, raised in Anchorage and spent a lot of time in Seward and Homer, where I now have stores. And I was teaching high school English at Diamond High School for 18 years. So when I started the business, I created a starfish design sort of in keeping with my love of symbolism. And I loved the idea that the starfish regenerate. And there really wasn't any shirt business like this in Alaska at the time. And I wanted to create something that represented us in Alaska. And so it has caught on. So now I have 5 designs. My most recent design just came out last week, and I brought it with me to Juneau. It's a mermaid design, and she's been wildly popular so far. We just got done doing a show in Fairbanks, and then we went on to Sitka, and now we're here in Juneau.
What goes into designing a T-shirt?
Well, for me, my technique is more of a scientific approach. I have a stippling design that I sort of self-taught, but learned initially, I think, in high school from one of my fabulous science teachers. And I use pencil and ink, so they're stippled designs, and they're very clean and spare. And I think that has resonated with our customers who want something a little less touristy, for lack of a better word.
But I imagine you do sell to tourists as well.
Absolutely, and I think the visitors that come and see us in our various locations, whether it be the tourists, you know, coming off the cruise ships or people in the various locations who are backpacking or whatever, looking for something that's authentically Alaskan and worn by Alaskans and also American-made. So all of my garments are American-made. I have children's items anywhere from baby onesies up to a size 12. And then we have great, my AK Wild Salmon design has been wildly popular with our both men and women. And then I have a raven, which, of course, is really dear to me in all of its meaning. And I sell a lot of the raven in the Southeast. So I have been coming to public market now for, I believe it's 8 years. And so it's been wonderful to see a lot of the kids here grow up. And each year they come back and get their next size up. And I get to kind of watch them grow. So it's been a real treat for me to be back here this year.
You've got a store in Anchorage and one in Seward and 3 more.
I have 3 in Anchorage, actually, different parts of town. And then I do have one in Seward in the Boat Harbor, which we absolutely love. And then we have one in Homer out on the spit. It's a little cabin, little shack out on the spit.
Speaking of resonating with locals, I remember when Marcy was here for the first year, and I looked over at her booth, and it was just mobbed.
It's always a pleasure. I really enjoy people here, so thank you.
So we're really happy to have her back. And, she's like many vendors who come in from all over Alaska and are professionals. You know, they go around to other shows, and they seem pretty happy with the public market because they keep coming back.
Peter is a fabulous organizer, and this is one of the reasons I choose to keep coming back here, because it is so well-run. And everyone's so gracious, lots of help. I come in often by myself, toting 19 what look like hockey bags. It's quite a spectacle. And, all the gear flying in. And there's always plenty of help with this show. And it's a great family event. We see so many families come in Friday night, and there's a lot of visiting and catching up with your neighbors. And I also, one of my favorite memories is being next to the Audubon booth, where there's a special jelly that everybody has to run to quickly before it sells out. So it really is a great event, and most people come all 3 days.
Marcy, what is the secret for catching somebody's attention when you've got thousands and thousands of people walking by, and you've got to catch the attention once so they can come to your booth?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for
us... I think Marcy smiles and looks them in the eye and brings them into the booth.
That may be part of it. Thanks, Peter. I'm not sure. I do know that we do our best to have an organized booth where people can see our product. And we're all in my stores about customer service. We like to greet people and really work with them. And we're really good at helping people find gifts for people. And when it comes to clothing, sizes can be tricky. And a lot of men go shop in my stores because they know that they can get helped with finding the right gift for people that can sometimes be daunting. So, and we are doing, like I said, we are selling children's items along with women's and men's. So it's a great place to get your whole list taken care of. We do have a website, too, and a lot of my Juneau customers will find us throughout the year. Since we don't have a store here in Juneau at this time, they're able to go to akstarfish.com and order after the festival. So it's always great publicity and a reminder to our customers to find us.
I'm talking with Marcy Nelson from the AK Starfish Company and Peter Metcalf from the 32nd Annual Alaska Public Market.
Yes, our website, by the way, is junopublicmarket.com, where you can get all the opening hours. But I should probably go through that, Jeff.
That was my next question, Pete. You must be psychic.
Reading your mind. It's easy to do, surprisingly.
There's nothing there.
So anyway, we open on Friday at noon, and it's open till 7 p.m., and then on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have a $7 admission charge for the weekend to Centennial Hall. The Jack, our public market annex, is no charge, and there's another 40 vendors there, and great venue. You don't want to miss the annex when you come there. And that's where we have all the prize drawings. So we try to draw people who are going to the big show in Centennial Hall to the Jack, because we offer all these prizes that are drawn on the, every about three times an hour. And then we have around $500 in cash prizes.
Is the big fat man coming on Sunday?
He is, as a matter of fact. Santa will be there at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And he's generally stationed in front of the food court, right next to Marcy's booth, actually. So.
All right. If people need more information, one more time on that website, please, Peter.
JunoPublicMarket.com.
Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
My mind is full, Jeff, but mainly with details of setting up, which we're doing right now.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
So much. Take care.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 26th of November, 2014. It's the birthday of the Theater of the Absurd playwright Eugene Ionesco, born in Slatina, Romania, 1909, but raised in Paris. And then at the age of 13, the family returned to Bucharest. He hated Bucharest. He felt confused there. Nazism was on the rise all around him. Once he was watching a German military parade. He watched a lieutenant rush up to a peasant who was standing nearby and slapped him and shouted at him for not removing his hat when he saw the Nazi flag. Ionesco said, "My thoughts were not yet organized or coherent at that age, but I had feelings, a certain humanism, and I found these things inadmissible. The worst thing of all was to be different from everyone else. Could I be right and the whole country wrong?" And that feeling led to Ionesco's lifelong struggle against authority. He turned to playwriting because, he said, it more easily allowed him to contradict himself. His first play was a one-act, an anti-play. He called it The Bald Soprano, an absurdist farce, no plot. The characters spoke in random non sequiturs, making fun of everything. It debuted in 1950, 2 years before Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. Eugene Ionesco was happily married for 58 years, lived in a Paris apartment, had many friends and colleagues, Hemingway, Picasso, Jean-Paul Sartre, Henry Miller, Juan Miró, and Max Ernst. Ionesco said, "My work has been essentially a dialogue with death, asking him why. Why?" It's the birthday of the writer Marilyn Robinson, born in Sandpoint, Idaho, 1943, author of many highly acclaimed novels, Housekeeping, Gilead, and Home. Marilyn Robinson, who said, "I grew up with the confidence that the greatest privilege was to be alone and have all the time you wanted. That was the cream of existence. I owe everything that I have done to the fact that I am very much at ease being alone. It's a good predisposition in a writer, and books are good company. Nothing is more human than a book." And it's the birthday of the science writer Jonathan Wiener, born New York City, 1953. His first book, Planet Earth, a companion volume to the Emmy-winning PBS television series. his latest book, Long for This World, The Strange Science of Immortality. Here's a poem for today by Raymond Carver, entitled The Window. A storm blew in last night and knocked out the electricity. When I looked through the window, the trees were translucent, bent, and covered with rime. A vast calm lay over the countryside. I knew better, but at that moment I felt I'd never in my life made any false promises, nor committed so much as one indecent act. My thoughts were virtuous. Later on that morning, of course, electricity was restored. The sun moved from behind the clouds, melting the hoarfrost, and things stood as they had before. Raymond Carver's poem, The Window, from Ultramarine, published by Vintage, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:21, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. KTOO News will be carrying Turkey Confidential this Thursday, tomorrow from 10 until noon. We're carrying it on a time-delayed basis to better serve the listeners. If you'd like to take part in the live call-in program, which is recorded earlier in the day from 7 to 9 a.m., the phone number there is 800-242-2828. Once again, that number for Turkey Confidential's phone number, 1-800-242-2828. In studio with me now is Danny Peterson from 360 North Television and website. Danny, thank you for coming to the station today.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Can we get an update as to upcoming events?
Oh, yeah. Lots of events going on. The very first thing that I wanted to mention is a very exciting live broadcast from Centennial Hall on Monday, December 1st. After everyone's had their turkey and feeling a bit drowsy, you can tune in and watch the swearing-in of our new governor in Centennial Hall, being put on, of course, by our award-winning news team here at K2. It's broadcasting at 11:30 a.m., and it's going to be repeating on Monday at 9 p.m. For those of you who might be at work, maybe you're going to miss it, you will be able to see all the ceremonies in full at 9 p.m. And stuff that's going on this week, we have a lot of great programming that's going to be playing. If you're not exactly a fan of football and Macy's Parade going on, you can tune into 360 North. And we have the rebroadcast of the Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention. We're going to be playing that in its entirety starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. through Saturday. Including a very popular thing that happened. It got a lot of views and likes on our Facebook page, which was a surprise proposal that happened at one of those events. You'll be able to catch that if you're curious about that. It put a smile on my face. That was at the Koyana, Alaska 2 event, and that's going to be airing on Friday, 11:28 at 8 p.m. It's within the first half hour of the program, so you can see that. Catch that. It's really cute. Tonight, the day before Thanksgiving, you can get into the holiday spirit. There's actually going to be a show that is related to Thanksgiving holiday. It's called Writer's Showcase Holidays. And that was thrown on right here in Juneau, put on by our award-winning arts and culture department. Scott Burton produced, and it features none other than Alaskan writers such as Seth Kantner. I hope I'm saying that name right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be playing tonight. And
it's a great show.
Tune in. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I'm sure for the taping, I've been a lot of good stellars.
Yeah, I'm sure it was wonderful. And well, in December, actually, if you missed the Alaska's Marine Highway Program, we're airing that starting December on December 3rd. So catch that out. Catch that if you can. And also on Saturday, December 6th, is the Forum on Alaska's Fiscal Future.
And Danny Peterson, thank you for coming by the station today and talking about various things going on with 360 North.
Thank you.
Coming up this Wednesday, December 3rd, Karen Inn is having a singer-songwriter spotlight concert. Doors open at 6:30 on Wednesday, December 3rd at the Goldtown Theater. Tickets are $10 at KarenInn.org or $12 at the door. The artists include Terry Tibbett, Dan Kirkwood, Riley Woodford, Kit and the Caboodles, Patrick Murphy, and it should be a whole lot of fun. It's a sample of Terry Tibbett's music right now.
Saw you standing there by the willows with your hair stuck to your cheek. Saw your face reflect the mountain where you'd been hiding all week. With that same shirt on and that thing you always wear around your neck. Well, what was it this time? Did they kick you from your home? Or did they tell you you did something? Did they tell you it was wrong? Or were you beaten for what you didn't do? Or were you slapped for what you said? Or were you thrown across the room and told that you would be better dead? Did you believe them? Don't run away from your tears. Don't run away with your fears. Just let someone come and talk to you. Just let someone put their arms around you. And let them love you. Now you find your fingers are frozen in the snow, and the earth falls from beneath you, and down you go. And the waves come up from behind you and smash your face into the sand, and the avalanche is upon you, and it just takes you by the hand. Oh, and down you go. Don't run away from your tears. Don't run away with your fears. Just let someone come and talk to you. Just let someone put their arms around you and let them love you. Thank you. What's gonna happen? Will you live your life alone? Will you pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just realize they were wrong? And that you're really just not like them, and that you never fit the mold, and that you see the world a little differently, and that you're really on your own. Oh, and that's okay. Don't run away from your tears. Don't run away with your fears. Just let someone come and talk to you. Just let someone put their arms around you. And let them love you.
It's Terry Tibbett. Terry and others will be playing this Wednesday, December 3rd at the Ghoultown Theater at Karen and Singer Songwriter Spotlight Concert. In the studio with me now is Travis Couteau, who's playing at the airport this Sunday. Travis, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
This is called Music on the Fly, and it's not the first time that you've done it.
No, this is the third or fourth time I've done it over the last few years.
Tell me about it, please. What's it like?
It's a really cool idea. I've never been on the other side of that, but I would really, I think, enjoy getting off the airplane and hearing some music. There's been a really wide variety of performers that I know of over the years, varying styles of music, and my experience has been very positive. A lot of people have, you know, if they weren't hurrying off to catch a cab, they stopped and listened to a few tunes and, you know, showed appreciation.
What kind of music do you play?
You know, I play a wide variety of music in different formations. What I usually do at this event is bring my nylon string guitar and a small amplifier and just play finger-picked classical style instrumental music.
What's people's reaction when they discover somebody playing at the airport? It's not a place we usually expect to find people.
It's not, and a lot of people have stopped and just kind of been surprised and expressed that. Some people have mentioned that they've experienced that at other airports like SeaTac and seem to think it's a great idea that we're doing that here in our community also.
You'll be singing originals?
I'm not going to be singing at all at this one, but I actually will be playing all original music.
Cool. And how did you get started playing guitar?
Well, I started as a kid, you know, 20 years ago, started teaching myself how to play electric guitar. That was a slow, frustrating process, but it took off after a while, and played in a lot of different formations, electric guitar. I play a lot of other instruments, banjo, trumpet, drums, just about any stringed instrument. I'll pick it up and play it.
Not at the same time?
I play the harmonica and different instruments at the same time, and sometimes I've been known to play a hi-hat and other drums simultaneously.
What are some of your inspirations?
Well, you asked about when I first started. At that point, I think, wanted to play guitar like Kurt Cobain or some of the 90s music I was listening to back then. And that's still a lot of the music I grew up on is still mainly what I listen to. I don't know if I can list a single influence on my guitar playing. It's kind of all over the map.
Tell me about your guitar.
Well, I primarily play a nylon string classical guitar. I have always played finger picked, whether it be electric guitar, steel string, And I about 6 or 7 years ago, I took a for a brief period, I took some lessons from Dan Hobson here in town and got my first kind of experience with the nylon string guitar and really loved the sound and the playability of the strings. And so I just slowly have switched to primarily playing that. I have a pretty nice guitar that I recently acquired that has a real nice pickup, so I can plug it in, and it's really versatile for situations that I want to play.
What about the sound of the nylon string guitar compared to the steel string guitar? How do you gravitate towards one or the other?
It has a real, depending on how you play it, a real soft kind of middle range between real high and twangy and real low and bassy, and the way that I play it really suits that kind of melodic, and I play a lot of rhythm while playing kind of a lead melody at the same time, and the nylon string is, I found, really conducive to that kind of playing.
I'm talking with Travis Croteau. He's playing this Sunday at the Juneau National Airport. It started at 7?
Well, 6:30. I'll be there by 6:30. I usually play for an hour, and if a flight has just come in, I'll stay and play for 15 or 20 more minutes, but it's about an hour between 6:30 and 7:30.
All right, so if you're traveling this weekend or want to just experience some live music, airport is the place to be, about 6:30 or 7 o'clock with Travis Croteau. Travis, anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, that's all.
This is Bird Note. Recently, Bird Note looked into the eyes of a great gray owl as we talked about the superlative vision of owls. In a moment, we'll turn to the owl's equally remarkable hearing. The owl's large yellow eyes are set in a broad, gray-feathered, dish-shaped face. Ridges of tiny, hair-like feathers rim the owl's face, creating what are known as facial discs. Just below the margins of the facial discs, concealed by feathers, are the openings to the owl's ears. The concave facial disc acts as a sound collector, like a parabolic microphone or an old-fashioned ear trumpet. The disc guides sound to the owl's asymmetrically placed ears. One ear opening sits higher on the skull than the other. This enhances the owl's ability to pinpoint sounds in three-dimensional space. The great gray owl hears the faintest sounds of unseen rodents, whether under a foot of snow or in the dark, and glides in on its unsuspecting prey, talons outstretched. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
A reminder to Capital Transit and Caravan passengers. Buses and vans will not be operating on Thursday, November 27th in recognition of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Full service will resume on Friday, November 28th. The contact number for Capital Transit is 789-6901 and Caravan is 463-6194. This holiday season, consider giving the gift of transportation. Capital Transit bus passes provide unlimited rides for 1 month.
Support comes from the Juneau Artist Gallery, featuring food art, photography, icons, and more. Located downtown in the historic Senate Building. Details at JunoArtistGallery.com.
I was thinking about you when the telephone rang. I picked it up, you said my name. And from 2,000 miles away you came home to me. You've had sunny days with highs in the 90s. I've got the sound of rain falling behind me. And the radio plays a love song, simple and sweet. just been gone a couple of weeks, and you're back to the rhythms of your childhood speech. It's like your mouth is against my ear. It's like we're together, but you're not here. I wanna will you through the wires that stretch for miles between us. I wanna will you from the heat in the Texas plain into this endless afternoon rain to brush your hair away. And you say your sister cut your hair the shortest ever, and you all spent the weekend down at the river, and you really don't mind that hot, hot weather like you did. You've just been gone a couple of weeks, and you're back to the rhythms of your childhood speech. It's like your mouth is against my ear. It's like we're together, but you're not here. I wanna will you through the wires that stretch for miles. I wanna will you through the wires that stretch for miles. I wanna will you through the wires that stretch for miles. I wanna will you through the wires that stretch for miles between us. Remember what you said back when you first moved. If you never went back, it would be too soon. But now you're riding and running around with all your old friends. You drove your dad's new truck like it was stolen halfway to Oklahoma. And now you're down in Kerrville with your old best friend, and you're not coming back. And somewhere in the wires, something breaks. I'm just a guy in a room with a phone in his face. You say my name from far away, and there's a kind of silence the telephone makes.
Riley will be appearing along with a cast of other people at the Singer-Songwriter Spotlight Concert this Wednesday, December 3rd at the Goldtown Theater. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts about 7 o'clock or so. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, KFTO News will be featuring a recording of the November Mudroom Show. Here's a sample of it now with Liz Villanueva.
Okay, without further ado, our first speaker is Liz Villanueva. If dubbed a royal name, Liz Villanueva would probably be hailed as Lady Laughs-a-Lot. She stumbles through life sporting a smile and believing in the unbelievable, not because of dim wit, but to continue. A product of Juno, she now raises her two daughters, Kiana and Janie, with her best friend Dan. Snowboarding, soccer, and chilling with family and friends builds memories she's afraid to forget. Teaching middle school language arts and social studies allows her to be forever young. This real McCoy is hardly fancy, but dreaming to write and writing to dream have always been a part of who Liz fancies she is. Now, if she could only find where she put that pen, please welcome Liz to the stage.
Thank you for being here. Start off, I'd like to say choosing which night I would tell the story at was not difficult for me, because when I turned 40, I said, I am going to perform before I am 41. That happens on Saturday. Knowing what I would say for this theme took a lot more thought. And figuring I've grown up in Juneau, you would think I'd have a whole lot to say about on the water. Really, what it comes down to, I would rather be on the water than in the water. I dislike the rain. I detest wet socks. But for the most part, I have never understood that tranquility, the complete calm, the image of the baby on the Nirvana cover. It doesn't work for me because when I was six, I just about drowned, and I remember swallowing water. I remember tasting water, breathing it, and thinking, this should not be happening. Why is that man in the chair still? Does he see me? And then all of a sudden, where did he go? And he's lifting me up by my swimsuit. All I could think as this lifeguard was saving me is, why didn't you save me earlier? So, again, as I contemplated the theme, it was odd to find myself in Fairbanks with my on-the-water story. A year ago, for the summer solstice, my family went to Fairbanks to pretty much have a family reunion, and we were lucky enough to be there for the summer sun. The sun was in the sky all night long, all day long. It was hot because it gets hot in some places in Alaska. And we decided on the 23rd, the way that we would celebrate my daughter's birthday was to go to the lake. Fairbanks doesn't really have lakes. It was more of a gravel pit. And luckily, though, I was with my sister who grew up in Juneau also, and so she knows all about having good times on the water. They had a 20-person inner tube with the trampoline in the middle. They had lifeguards, life jackets for every kid, and we had a few kids because we like to produce and reproduce and other things that go along with that. And so we were chilling by the water, by the lake in the sun. It was about 11 o'clock. We had a great spot, ragtag campsite, and we were the only ones for about a half hour before another family set up about 200 yards or whatnot down the beach, not good with distance. And so, again, we were sitting, listening to music. We had been staying up pretty late because the sun never goes down. And so Led Zeppelin, I remember, was playing. And doesn't matter what song Led Zeppelin song is on, there's always a lesson. Can always draw something out of it and relate to it. So we adults were hanging out and the kids were enjoying the water. And all of a sudden, the people to the other campsite, they started screaming for help. Help! Help! And every adult, every male, there were five men, they all jumped up and ran as fast as they could to that screaming. My sister, Catherine, who is older than me, she used to be able to do the butterfly as a senior. She also ran out as fast as she could. My other sister's husband got on one of those jet runners, and he waved out and made splashes, but he was right there. We were the only people responding. I responded by making sure the children were okay, put my hand on my hip, made sure my glasses were posed, not because I wanted to look good, but because I did not know what else to do. And as we watched, as they responded, we went through every emotion there was to go through. We had started feeling lucky. We had started feeling hot and tired, but knowing we were going to have a good day. And in a second, everything changed. They dove, they looked, a man died. We came back, and the adults did not know what to do. We were angry. We were scared. We were helpless. And so we had a birthday party. And I thought, how fitting is this that we are celebrating Kayana's birthday? She was born in the water. She was that Nirvana baby. Just like the day that I gave birth to her, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to expect. We weren't in control. But every single person acted and did what they could. And then we kept the children safe. What I take from that day is I would always rather be on the water than in the water. But truly, like the cycle of water, the water cycle, life is a cycle too. And when I look out at the water, really what I think is no regrets. There are no regrets, and there are no regrets.
That was Liz Villanueva. That was recorded back in September of this year. And the theme was water. The theme for tomorrow night's broadcast of the November show of Mudrooms is sibling rivalry.
The trick to a great ham is a song, she'd say, and we would sing loud and lustily. I make my ham the way my mother made hers, with lots of talk and love and laughter.
This Thanksgiving, we're in the kitchen with poet Nikki Giovanni. We'll remember her friend Maya Angelou and gather together for a Minnesota blessing from Garrison Keillor. I'm John Burge with music and stories for Thanksgiving. It's Giving Thanks from American Public Media.
Thanksgiving afternoon at 3 on a Juno afternoon on KTOO News Juno. KTOO News will be carrying Turkey Confidential this Thursday, tomorrow from 10 until noon. We're carrying it time delayed to better serve our listeners. If you'd like to take part in the live call-in program earlier in the morning from 7 to 9, the phone number is 800-242-2828. Tomorrow morning's broadcast of Turkey Confidential from 7 to 9 on the East Coast, 1-800-242-2828.
Thank you.
programming comes from the public market, a Juneau holiday tradition since 1983. Arts and crafts from Kotzebue to Ketchikan. Thanksgiving weekend at Centennial Hall and the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. The public market, opening Friday at noon.
Do you enjoy folk music? Looking for something fun to do on a Wednesday night? Then tune in to Friends and Neighbors, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRNN 102.7. Hi, this is Mike Sicarius, host of Friends and Neighbors. Together we'll explore and enjoy the breadth of folk music from blues to ballads to banjos and much more. So kick back and relax this Wednesday evening with Friends and Neighbors, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRNN 102.7.
Time is 3:58 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Forecast for tonight, there's a high wind warning in effect until midnight. Mostly clear skies, low temperature 16 to 28 degrees. Forecast for Thanksgiving Day, sunny weather, locally very windy with high temperatures 22 to 31 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear, very windy weather and colder weather continuing. Friday, sunny weather with windy weather, high temperatures 21 to 27 degrees. Saturday and Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and